Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode here at Gamertag Radio, and on this episode we have a review of Wolverine from Insomniac coming out for the PlayStation 5 and very, very soon. So I have Rihanna and also Tony Polanco from Throwdown Show. Both of them are going to be reviewing the game, and they're going to talk about their experience and everything. So stay tuned, because we have more reviews coming up very, very soon. We have lots of other games coming out during the month of September. And yes, we are going to be reviewing them. So stay tuned for that. All right, so let's go with the review. Until next time.
So, Tony, thank you for joining me on this episode of GTR. Today we're talking about a game that a lot of people have been looking forward to. What has been your hype, like your path to playing Wolverine from Marvel?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me on. This is kind of like a cool surprise to get to do this podcast with you. You know, we don't need Danny. We don't need Paris, you know? But yeah, so obviously we're going to talk about the game. No spoilers here. I played the entire thing, got 100% everything because I'm crazy. And I generally enjoyed it. It's not a perfect game, and we're going to get more into it during this discussion. But for the most part, it is definitely a solid Insomniac game. Graphically, an amazing showcase for the PS5. But yeah, that's my initial thoughts. We're going to get into it more. But what are your initial thoughts on the game?
Yeah, initially when we saw like a teaser for it, I of course was hyped. Basically, like the pedigree of Insomniac is just, I'm already expecting a lot. And we'll talk about that a little more and how it impacted my reaction to this game. But I was like, okay, so it's Marvel plus Insomniac, and it's a character we all know and love. Yeah. Obviously, we've had really great experiences with past Insomniac Marvel games and Spider-Man and Miles Morales. And, you know, I saw Wolverine and I'm like, oh, yeah, I just want to slice a bunch of shit and you know, jump around and growl at people. It sounds awesome. So I was really, really excited for it. Now, I will say, in the lead up to the release, there have been lots of teases of different characters and skill trees and scenes that we've seen throughout the Marvel Universe and many different iterations. Before we get into the game, I'm curious to know, because I know you're a big comic guy, what is your thought of this take on the world, the setup, the storyline, without spoilers, and how it is very different from the MCU, which is what most general audiences will be familiar with?
Yeah, and I'm glad you put it that way, because that was a hurdle for me to get over. Like, and I'm coming at this from like a comic book fan standpoint. This part I can't say. We know that there are no X-Men. It's Team X. You know, Insomniac has already said that. And the whole time I'm playing, I'm like, why not just call this the X-Men? This is functionally an X-Men story at its core, right? Mutants are being oppressed and they got to fight and defend, you know, a world that hates and fears them. You know, the classic X-Men stuff, right? So that was there. But like the undercurrent is the same, or the core, I should say, but the top layer, you know, the characters, the team names, the history, that was all different. On its own, it works, but even if you only know the characters from the cartoons or the movies, you're going to be like, wait a minute, because I was thinking about this. So I'm like, what a normal person, and I know that may sound derogatory, but I'm a nerd, so I call other people normies, right? I'm like, would a normie be thrown off by this? And I think yes, because the X-Men are very popular. People know Professor Xavier, the mansion, the school, Wolverine, Jean Grey, Cyclops. People know all this stuff. So I think my confusion is going to be shared even by like just casual people, you know? Like they're going to be like, wait a minute, wait, what do you mean this? What do you mean that? Did any of that stuff throw you off as a person that, like, you know, I'm assuming you mostly know from the movies and the cartoons and stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I came to the cartoons first as a child, and the movies, and then the comics later.
Yeah.
Of course. And I would assume I'm in the majority in that history, for at least for people around our age, you know, millennials. And it was definitely a bit of an adjustment for me. It took me a while to get used to the fact that there was no mansion, there weren't the typical cast that I'm used to, that Jean Grey is just seen completely outside of Professor X or Cyclops, which is odd, honestly, to not see her playing off of those two men. And also, I mean, this isn't a spoiler because it has been announced before the game has released, but Pale Troy Baker, aka Nathaniel Essex, being the character that you see Wolverine interact with as his authority figure is very weird. And I will say I enjoy that they had so much flexibility narratively because this was so new, like such a different perspective on this character, Wolverine, that we've seen quite a bit, right? Like, he's arguably one of the most popular folks from the MCU and even the Fox universe. And I think it's really interesting to see him with who we think of as villains, typically. Like, yeah. Or maybe even just, like, a little bit less altruistic, let's say. Like a Raven or Mystique. And seeing him interact with them as his team, like his core, right? And so that threw me off. It really did. And it took me a while to figure that out. I wish going in, I knew that was what I should be expecting. Like, I almost wish there was a little more table setting so that I wasn't taking so long to care about these quote unquote bad guys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I did get there eventually, but it took me some time because I was waiting to see them all turn, right? I was waiting to see a turn in the first few minutes or the first few acts and it took a while for me to get the hang of this. This is the family that he has found and is working through.
Yeah, I'm really I'm glad you're saying all this because it makes me feel like so it wasn't just me then. Because again, we're coming at this from like two different like entry points, but we have the same conclusion. I'm like, wait a minute, you guys are throwing us a very weird take on everything. And like you said, they're kind of subverting our expectations because that was my thought the whole time. I'm like, Wolverine, you're on a team full of villains. This isn't going to go right for you, brother.
I mean, I know he's slipped in the past, but like, this is a lot. Like, y'all are doing a lot of things together as like buddies. And I'm like, okay, you seem like you're actually like friends, not just passing through. I was not expecting that. So that took me a minute. And like I said, I wish I had had more setup for that. But regardless of that, again, we can't do too much spoilers, so we can't get too much into the narrative. I know you finished it. I'm about 2/3 of the way through. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. Okay. It's kind of funny, right? The fact that I'm not answering right away may tell you something, I guess. Yes, I did like it, but there are some caveats. The biggest one, and now I want to, you know, if it's okay, I want to get into some gameplay stuff.
For sure.
I felt that the biggest thing for me was the enemies were, they didn't have enough diversity for them. It was mostly the same types of enemies. You had, you know, and I'm telling you stuff you've already seen in trailers. You had the Reavers, you had the Sentinels, and even though the groups have individual ranks within them, you keep seeing the same ones over and over and over again.
Right.
Some of the boss battles, which I'm not going to get into, although I'm pretty sure some of you guys have seen some of these, not the greatest, you know, and there's a lot of cases where I'm like, dude, the health bar is just unnecessarily long here. Like, the battle wouldn't be difficult. Like I'll just say it because everybody's seen it. Red Sentinel boss fight. I'm like, why is this taking so long? Why am I still here? This battle is not difficult.
There's no more phases. You're like, wait.
Yeah. You're just waiting and waiting. And then the other thing I didn't enjoy, and again, I understand this part is like more for character and story building, but there was a lot of walking simulator parts where I'm like, what are we doing here? I'm like, I'm holding the R2 button because that's your run button. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's like, okay, like when I was going back to play some of the levels and stuff to, you know, re-get some of the collectibles, I would purposely skip the cutscenes. I'm like, I don't want to go through this. And now I'm thinking like, there is a new game plus, and I'm like, you know, there are some legitimate parts I do not want to replay because you do have a lot of control. Like, the action stuff is all fun. But it can get repetitive, especially, and this is a thing a lot of video games do, where it's just at the end, throw thousands of waves of enemies at you and try to survive. And then the walking sim stuff, it's just, and it's kind of interesting. It's like, and I had this, I think I was talking to Paris about this. He was like, you have the core gameplay of Spider-Man, right? But without the freedom of an open world and the amount of activities. I'm not saying this game should have been open world. I'm an advocate for less open world games because I'm an adult and I want my time. But they could have changed it a different way where it, because it feels like something's missing from the gameplay. And it seems like they try to compensate for it by just having 50,000 more battles.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think it's interesting because in the challenge levels, The few that I found the most entertaining were the ones that were endless waves of bosses. And the ones that I liked the least were the ones where it's like parkour challenge. Because I would just miss something, obviously, because I'm terrible at platforming. And then I'd be like just pissed off that I have to do it again. Because I'm like, great, I didn't get adamantium level. Got to do it again, you know. And I would find myself spending so much time not enjoying what I was doing because I just wanted to do it well. And that's a gamer thing, I understand. Yes. But not most people don't have that affliction. But I did find myself enjoying my quote-unquote free time, time I chose to spend doing extra stuff, less than in other Insomniac games. And it's not necessarily, you know, is linear versus open world. It's more the challenges themselves were so lopsided in, you know, what I liked doing as this character. Like, I don't think of Wolverine as a parkour master, I guess. And I understand the need for that type of movement and that type of gameplay element when, you know, you have a chase scene and you got to keep up with this character. I whoopsie-doo, I fell off the edge of the thing and, like, I got to go fucking back and do it again. Like, I did not enjoy it. But then, funny enough, like, when they did throw a bunch of enemies at me, I'm like, oh, great, I get my combat puzzle time. I did like that stuff. So I found myself not loving the stealth missions because I was like, I don't want stealth. I just want to kill shit. Like, I just want to slash at everything. But a few times when I did try to take it seriously, I was like, okay, I see why that was easier, but it wasn't more fun. You know what I mean? And so I had this interesting imbalance from certain elements of the gameplay and combat versus others where I loved parts of it. Loved parts of it. And, you know, there's a person where I'm like, Danny's playing another game next to me. And I'm like, hey, Danny, pause. You got to see this. Right? So it had that element to it, that Insomniac magic to it. But then there's other parts where I was like, ugh, rolling my eyes because I had to go back and do something again. So it was very high and low, which is interesting. Usually Insomniac games are pretty high for me. So yeah, let's get into a little bit more of the gameplay since you took us there. I would love to know, aside from the walking sim, what did you think about like the slight side paths that they had and this upgrade mechanic where you see a glowing purple route and you go follow it to, you know, a projection of your cabin in the woods and you go play through some kind of memory and you get a new adaptation or a new upgrade path if you meet this challenge, right? Like, what did you think of the pacing of how they spaced all the missions versus the discovery and conversations versus the side quests?
You know, I didn't think about it too hard, but now that you mention it, because usually when you have challenges like that in games, it could feel like it just completely kind of crushes whatever momentum was happening. But now that I'm thinking about it, the places where they place these things felt natural. So it's like, okay, if I'm going to spend 5 minutes away from the main story to do this, it's okay. I like that. And I actually am happy that was included, even though, yes, it is not part of the story. I enjoyed them because, you know, Wolverine, you know, has a lot of psychological damage and stuff. So it's kind of cool we're exploring all that. Typically didn't like a lot of the challenges in there, but the memories that you get were my reward because that never let you down. The lore was really cool because, you know, people know Wolverine's a very old guy, right? So I like how the memories go back pretty far, but they're also not in chronological order. They're scattered everywhere, kind of like the way Wolverine's mind thinks. So I thought those were really cool. And I also like the tech behind it because you could tell it's Insomniac doing the Rift stuff from Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, where it's like a game within a game, but you seamlessly go in and out.
No loading screens, you guys. No, it is really like PS5 magic, truly.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And even you could also redo those missions outside of the main game if you want. And you know, you're inside this little cabin. And I love how when you go to replay like main levels, Wolverine sits down on a bed. He's holding the picture frame like the meme. I'm like, let's go, man. And then here's a random one. I couldn't help but think when I'm playing through these like nightmare levels, I'm like, you know, Insomniac would make a great Incredible Hulk game because Hulk also has weird, crazy mental stuff. You know, there's a lot of astral plane stuff. So I'm like, they could do like, you know, Yeah, no spoilers, but if you're playing Insomniac games, you know they do some freaky stuff level-wise towards the end of their game. So I'm like, I would want to see Hulk doing that, where it's like, you know, he's in like some weird kind of world bashing stuff, but it's a representation of what's happening in his mind. I'm like, that would be so
cool. Yeah,
or
like Hulk versus Banner and like bent reality.
Yeah, so Insomniac, if you're listening to this, Incredible Hulk, please. But yeah, what do you think of? Because I enjoyed the nightmare levels, and I liked how they gave you a nice like diversion from the main story.
Funny enough, you mentioned that usually it takes you out of the momentum of your main story gameplay, and it did that for me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I did like the placement, and okay, so I'm that player, like, you're playing a side-scrolling game, and it's clear that you need to go to the right, I go left immediately.
Yes.
So I veer off course intentionally all the time whenever I can, and so I found that that tendency made it broken for me because I was always kind of going backwards or going left and when I should be going right. And so I would come to it at an inopportune moment. And that's my fault, right? Like that's okay. Because I play games intentionally out of order just because I want to see, you know, the code behind the game, right? Like I want to see the zeros and the ones in the matrix. But if I were playing normally, like I'm sure it would be fine. And it almost takes me to this meta thought that I've been having through my gameplay experience where I feel like this game might be better enjoyed by somebody who has never played this type of game before or has never played an Insomniac game before. Like, I feel like this might be a better entry point for an Insomniac game than any other game we've had in the last 5 years, right? Like, I wish I had played this before I'd played Ratchet & Clank.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting because Ratchet & Clank would probably be the first game somebody has played from Insomniac, you know,
right.
But
age-wise is definitely.
Yeah. The way like you kind of ended in a different way than I thought you were going to go. I thought you were going to say that maybe this is like a good entry point because it has so many, for the lack of a better term, cliche gaming things that you would appreciate it more if you hadn't played a lot of games, because to me, like, oh, we're doing this part now. Oh, we're doing this part now. Oh, we're doing this now. So that could take you off if you're like a more seasoned gamer. But going back to what you said about going off the beaten course, because in the game, if you press, I believe it's R3, it tells you where your objective is. So what I would purposely do is hit R3. Oh, do you want me to go there? Let me go over here instead.
Yeah,
you know, so
exactly.
But it gave you the choice, right? Even when you see the roots forming, you always have the choice.
He's sniffing out his path because he's got the nose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you could always go, you know, stay on the main path if you want. But I never thought about that. That is interesting. It's like, if this is somebody's like first game, like would they enjoy it more? Cause yeah, for veteran gamers like us, it's like, we've done this type of stuff plenty of times, not only in Insomniac games, but other games. And I think that may be something people may not appreciate. It's like, this game, as cool as it is, don't get me wrong, I like the game, it isn't very original.
Right. And that kind of takes me to the next thing the next ding I have to give it. The RPG skill tree upgrade path is so paint by numbers. It really is like you unlock a point every time you go through a certain checkpoint of experience or at the end of a level or at the end of a big fight. And you press in the pad and then you find like, oh, you have another unlock and there's only two things to choose from. And so you choose the one and then that's it. And there's not a lot of choice, or at least not if you're upgrading as you play. Maybe if you banked all of those skill points and then upgraded all at once, but there's not a ton of diversity of choice. And the impact just gives you slightly more combos for combat, and that feels like that's about it. It is not as robust as I was hoping for. And I did not feel like I could customize my Logan or my Wolverine in any significant way. And even choosing between the adaptations, which, as I said, is a separate skill tree that you get for the nightmare levels, it was cool, but I did not feel like it made a significant impact on my gameplay. And I played on a skill level wise, I took one down from normal just because I was trying to power through it because we have a lot we got to play right now.
Yeah.
What skill level did you play on, your difficulty level?
Nor I always play games on normal.
Just on normal.
Yeah. Like I'll play games on. I'll either play it on harder mode if I want to get a trophy, or easy if I want to just get through something like fast. But if I'm reviewing a game, I always purposely play on normal mode. And that's the other thing. I also felt this game wasn't very challenging for the most part. And as for the skill trees, it's interesting, right? Because they give you the I call it the illusion of choice. It's like, oh, I'm locking in this. Like just say you unlock a point and you get two choices. So you pick one, but then when you get another skill point, you could go back and pick the one you didn't select. So by the end, I had every single skill. There was nothing missing. So like at the end, your Wolverine's going to be exactly just like mine. Yeah, you can't make it your own. It's like, okay, maybe because you do have like only four slots for these like super moves. Okay, maybe two you choose aren't what I choose, but they're going to it's four out of six. It's going to be the same. And then there's some other skills you get later on, which I felt were interesting to say the least. I'm not going to say anything else, but I'm like, I don't know if that fits the character correctly, but from a gameplay standpoint, it does make sense. But I don't know, maybe they could have found a better balance. But in general, this may sound controversial. I've been sick of skill trees for a while. I'm like, can't we keep that stuff to RPGs the way they used to be? Like, not every game needs to have skill trees and experience points and all this other stuff, you know? And I'm not digging Wolverine specifically. That's just a pet peeve I've had with a lot of games. Like, I just want to go in there and just play something normal. Like, I remember when I didn't play the first Gears of War until 2015 when I got an Xbox One. And it was a 2007 game. And I'm playing 2015. I find it so refreshing. No skill trees, none of this stuff. I could just play. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about nothing. I'm like, I wish more games could do that. But at the same time, people will complain. They will complain like, oh, why isn't this in here? What is in this? But I'm like, do you want to have a mechanic in there just to tick a box? Or don't you want it in there to provide something more meaningful? You know, and again, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just, like you said, the way it's done is not very robust and engaging, the skill trees.
Yeah, it feels like a checklist more than a skill tree. And that's fine. I mean, you can't satisfy everybody, but I'd almost prefer the way you described. Like, just hand me more moves as I get better. Yeah. Like, don't give me the illusion of choice. That said, there are some things I really loved. I loved all of the skins. And there's a couple that I will not spoil for people. But there's one in particular. No, there's like two in particular that I unlocked where when I'm running around in cutscenes, fully animated, fully like audio tuned to these outfits, it is absolutely ridiculous. Like just straight up goofy as hell. And I loved it. Like just loved it to death. Like down to whatever is or is not on Logan's feet will sound different as he's running around. When you see him interacting with people in the cutscenes, his art style might be very different. Like, it's just hilarious. And I was living for it. Like, it was giving me so much entertainment on top of what I did enjoy, you know, as the story. But, like, what do you think about, like, the different customizables and, like, you know, you find a box full of materials and you can unlock more suits. Like, did you get into a lot of that?
Yeah, I did because I really liked that the game did this. Basically, every time you get a certain or unlock a certain amount of suits, your health goes up. Yeah. So it's like, so you're not just doing this for cosmetic reasons, although that's obviously an incentive. You're kind of doing this to make sure your health keeps increasing. Like your health maxes out at 200% and you need to have like 20 some odd costumes by then. So it kind of gives you the incentive to scour the levels, try to find all the loot boxes. And this Wolverine, he sniffs them out. So they're not very difficult to find. And when you go back to replay the levels, they tell you how many of the boxes you're missing. So you could always just carefully search. But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the costumes with a lot of variety in there. For my first playthrough, I played with whatever costume the narrative required of him. You know, like, I'm like, okay, he's wearing a leather jacket now. Cool. But when I was replaying everything, I would wear all the wacky stuff. No spoilers here, obviously. But, you know, if you're a fan of the comics, the movies, the TV show, it has something for everybody.
They're
all there. Yeah. So
recent stuff.
Yes. Oh, yes. So I hope that's something I will say that I hope other developers do. It's like, if you have to have unlockable costumes, have the costumes impact the gameplay. In this case, it was give you more health. I think that's a really cool way of doing it.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a really cool add, right? Like that felt additive in the way that the upgrading the skill tree didn't feel like it was giving me anything new. That was really exciting and refreshing. Something else that I thought was cool on, I guess, like comparing Insomniac to themselves again, this was very gory.
Oh, yeah.
It was very, very bloody, very nasty. We got body parts flying around and blood on his face every time you look at him. Like, what did you think of the gore level?
Yeah, you're right. For Insomniac, it's a lot. But one of the things, when this game first got announced, I was like, how gory is this going to be compared to Wolverine Origins from like 2010, right? And I love that game. Mm-hmm. This game is still not nowhere as violent, as gory as that one. That one, like in yeah. this game, you occasionally will see limbs flying. In that game, it was just, Wolverine just looks at somebody and it's just blood and everything flying. But yeah, no, but his actual moves, like the animations, the way he interacts, very brutal, very true to the character. You know, like
some of the
team ups
with the other characters too.
Yes, the combos and stuff. That's really funny. Like, yeah, there are moments where Wolverine leaves a fight. It's like you can't even see his costume. He's just drenched in red.
Like his whole shirt is like ripped off. That's like, you know, holes everywhere. Like,
yeah, and his adamantium skeleton showing. It's like, okay, they didn't mess around there. So I don't wince away from it. So I love gore. So the game satisfied me in that way, but it still wasn't as gory as the Wolverine Origins game, which was just insane.
Yeah, no, and I really like how at the end of a fight, he kind of like takes his claws and he's like, ugh, yuck, and like shakes the blood off of him, like to note that, like, okay, the enemies are all gone now, so he can clean up. That's yes. really cool. And depending on which claws you have, it's fun too.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you said that. We're not gonna say anything, but yeah, there are different claws. I'm like, oh, that's yes. kind of cool.
Yes, very cool. Very cool. And I won't get into too many details about that. I feel like that was another opportunity where they could have done a little more fun. And I feel like knowing Insomniac, they probably wanted to, but it's one of those things that got cut, right? Yeah. Like, because they got to finish the game at some point. And, you know, you could have fun in this world forever. It's clear that the actors had a good time, especially Pale Troy Baker. Shout out to him.
I love how you have to put that qualifier on there.
Because literally I saw him and I was like, oh, it's Troy. And then he's very pale. So because yes. he's usually like beautiful tan, you know, beautiful man. But it was very fun to see these characters play against each other. And then, you know, seeing Logan with all these different characters in different versions of themselves, which is so refreshing. They got me to like people that I didn't think I would like. They got me to like be suspicious of some people. I'm like, oh no, they were actually pretty chill. Which I feel is a good portrayal, right? Like you want to be guessing. Like you want to kind of be kept on your toes. Maybe not completely so taken out of it like I was at the beginning. But by the time we got to, you know, say maybe like 4 or 5-ish hours in, I was like, okay, like they actually do kind of like each other. Okay, let's get into the story. Now I'm okay. And there's cute little moments like a drinking game here and there where you're like, oh, yeah. I like these interactions. Like they're fun. Another little tiny, actually probably took a lot of time, but another detail that I really liked is in the menu screen. Depending on where you last stopped your game, yes. it's different. And there, if you let it play, there's whole scenes that will play out.
Oh, I didn't
like,
know
whole
that.
Whole scenes, voiced, animated, like there's interactions with like other characters. Like you can literally just sit and watch the loading screen. And not like in a Last of Us way where, you know, there's, you know, something ambiently floating in the wind. Like, no, it's like characters on screen talking and interacting with each other. It's really cool. And there's so many little details like that I love in these games, and I always want more of it, but I know I'm being greedy asking for things like that.
Yeah, no, but you are right. It's very clear, even with some of the hangups you and I may have, very clear that Insomniac put a lot of love into this game. Like, they really love the characters and the world and try to do, you know, a different take on it. But yeah, no, everything, again, I didn't even know that because usually when I see the menu, I just go right into it. I'm like, that's the kind of stuff where, you know, something plays out where it's like, okay, this isn't just like, all right, we got this license, just crank it out there. You know, it's like you could tell a lot of love, a lot of, you know, like the passion of the fans of the, you know, these characters is in there. And I think people who enjoy Wolverine, you know, will also see that. Like, okay, Insomniac, you know, Even if you have some issues, you could tell they did things right by the character. They honored him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all in all, I would say I don't give like scores for games. I would say the kind of people who would enjoy it, like who is this for? I think it's for people who have not played a ton of RPGs and they're not expecting super in-depth, you know, skill tree or customization. Like they just want to be Wolverine for 10-ish hours, then this is absolutely going to be up your alley. If you like Insomniac games, I would say this is a good one. I would say it's not their best.
I agree.
And I I'm not saying that as a bad thing because their ceiling is obviously as high as games can get, right? They have 10 out of 10 games in their roster, more than one. And so when you have a 10 out of 10 game legacy, when you get something that's a little lower than that, it's like, oh, okay, that's still worth playing, right? It's still worth the price of entry. I think it absolutely shows off the capabilities of the PS5. And as somebody who barely plays their PS5, that's saying something. There are really cool moments where things would play on the controller based on what I was looking at in the world. That was really cool. There's some of the corny touchpad stuff that we're all used to by now. But then there's other moments where, like you said, like the Rift tech from Ratchet and Clank, you just is so seamless to walk from one reality into another. And then it's fully functional. There is no pause. There is no threshold or loading screen. It's really, really impressive on the technical side. So, I mean, I don't know. I would recommend this to almost any person who likes adventuring or Marvel or combat. And there's definitely a lot of deep cuts, a lot of Easter eggs for people who want to go looking for them. And I had a great time.
Yeah, no, I agree with
that. I wouldn't say it's a perfect game.
Yeah, like you said, like Insomniac, you know, we're already used to a certain level from them. So this may fall a little short, but it's not too bad. And I still say this company is still carrying the PS5. Like they've done an amazing amount of work. Just quickly on what you were talking about with the technical stuff, I played it on the PS5 Pro, and I love how I could just basically crank everything up. I had it performance mode, 120 hertz, hertz matching 120 frames, ray tracing, which was spectacular looking. I really enjoyed that. As for who would enjoy the game, I would actually say, unless you're squeamish, although you could turn that off if you want. Okay, so I may retract a little bit what I said. Yeah, this game is pretty much for everybody. It's a very
approachable.
Very approachable, very crowd-pleasing type of game, because you do get a nice, like solid story throughout. Very cinematic in that way. Again, the character portrayals are really good. The combat, even there are some parts I may be a little repetitive, it is still very fast and paced and everything. Graphics look great. The voice acting is really solid. Like, the characters did their thing, you know? And also, I appreciate that Wolverine, because in most media outside of comics, he's always portrayed as this, like, you know, tall, dark, and handsome guy. It's like, in this game, he's what he is. He's a short dude. He's a short king, and I like
that. Short king, yes. Our short king. Our short angry king. We look for it. And I think it's fun to see him, like flirting with Jean. Obviously, that's going to happen. Or, like, fighting with Sabretooth, because those two hate each other, but they kind of love each other, because they're basically brothers. Like, I loved... They still got the core of all of those interactions that I'm familiar with. Enough that it pulled me along. Like you said, like, the story eventually got me. It took me a minute to get into it, but in Insomniac, I trust they did a great job as usual. So that's kind of our thoughts on it. Any last parting tidbits you want to give people if they're thinking about this game or if they're on the fence?
Yeah, if you have a PS5, let's just be honest, there's some more exclusives coming out this year. Get the game. You'll enjoy it. And as for myself, obviously, I want to thank you for having me on. It was a great discussion. I'm pretty sure we could have kept it going, but, got a certain amount of time limit here. And if you want to see more from me, I'm a writer for Tom's Guide. Check out my articles. I write about video games, both software and gaming. And I'm also on Twitter at RomuDeth, RomuDeth. Links to all my stuff is in my bio. And I'll definitely be sharing more thoughts on this game. I mean, this episode's airing when the embargo lifts, so go check out my Twitter. I'm going to have all my thoughts there. I'm going to have an article. I'm not officially reviewing this game for our website, so please check out everything, but I am going to be writing an editorial. I'm still debating on whether it could be, but it's going to be more in-depth. That won't just be a standard review, thank you for having me on. This was a blast. And go check out Wolverine, people.
Absolutely. So thank you, Tony, for joining. Thanks to Danny for running the ship as always, and stay tuned for more reviews. It's a heavy fall, you guys, so we got lots coming here on Gamertag Radio.
Peace.